I knew that she didn't have a community or roots here in Baltimore. And so I said, for you, I want you to take from my community.
And it was at that kitchen table that the idea of the porch of trust was rooted into my brain.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the Stoop Storytelling Series podcast. I'm Jessica Henkin.
And I'm Laura Wexler.
This week on the podcast, Good Neighbors, two stories about the importance of community. So this first story is from Jess Watson, who shared this as an audience storyteller at a recent show that we had at the Creative Alliance in Highland Town, Baltimore. Take a listen.
I meet friends in the most unique and interesting ways. One time I was standing in line at Sweetgreen, and the woman in front of me was a little bit taller, and she had curly hair and freckles. And I just looked at her and I said, yo, are we related? Turns out that we were not, but she had just moved to Baltimore City from New York. So she hadn't yet found a community or a friend group and or anything like that. And we became fast friends. She had a beautiful little girl who was in a stroller that looked like she could be my niece. I just loved every part of connecting with this person. A few months into our friendship, I started getting notices on Facebook that something maybe had gone wrong. And I had someone call me and say, hey, aren't you friends with, her name's Chelsea, aren't you friends with Chelsea? And I'm like, yeah, what's going on? And she informed me that Chelsea's partner had passed away suddenly. Now, Chelsea had, at that point, a toddler and also a baby on the way. And she had moved to Baltimore for him. And when I found out this news, I immediately came to her door. You know, when terrible things happen, I think sometimes we get stuck because we don't know what to say, and we forget that just your presence is moving and enough, and it says what words cannot. Now, I'm not a person that asks people for things. I have a tough time asking for help myself. I don't ask you to donate. I don't want your money. I feel like people have relationships with money that are different. And I grew up insecure financially, so I don't like giving out money. But I was willing to do whatever I could for her. I knew that she didn't have a community or roots here in Baltimore. And so I said, for you, I want you to take from my community. We will be that resource and that circle around you in this time. And so for the first time ever, I asked my friends for money. and I said, hey, I need you to give. This is what's happening. And they came through in such amazing ways. I also went to Target and found a Christmas tree for her family. I don't have one. I didn't have one for myself at the time, but Baltimore houses are so narrow. So to find the perfect tree was complicated, but I had a neighbor come with me, and we got it in the car somehow, and just all these crazy expeditions came out of trying to help this one friend in need. That was maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and she still has that tree. She has 2 beautiful children that I sometimes still take to the movies. Because they like kid movies and so do I, so it's a win-win for me. And every time we see each other in Baltimore, we just look out and we say, hey, cuz! because I believe that family, yes, it's your blood, but it's also your community and the people that you choose to have around you. And so I want you to think about that. When someone needs help, sometimes just showing up and being there is enough. I think that we are often called and we're not me. I don't have enough. What are you talking about? But sometimes your presence of just being with someone in their time of need can go a really long way. That's my message. Thank you, everyone.
It's very sweet. Jess has like incredibly good energy and has since, you know, as these things go, become a social media friend of mine. So I get to, you know, watch her continue just to be a figure of good and lightness in our city. So she's awesome. Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break and then we'll get to the next story. This next story is from Roxy Freefall. Is that her real name?
No.
I love that name.
Yeah.
That's an amazing name. From Roxy Freefall, not her real name.
No. Nope.
And this is a story about a particular neighborhood here in Baltimore called Hamden and something that goes down one night.
So growing up in central New Jersey, my house was constantly filled with company, right? I don't know if anybody's seen the Simon Maniscalco comedy special, right? But I'm going to steal from him because what he said was 100% true, where my mom would all of a sudden magically appear with an Entenmann's coffee cake and a pot of Sanka, right? And she would just, here, pour yourself a cup, take a slice, sit down. How are you? How's life? And it was at that kitchen table that the idea of the porch of trust was rooted into my brain. So the porch of trust is a literal porch that's attached to my house. In the past, it's been a kitchen table. It's been a stoop. It's even been a lanai, just like the one on the Golden Girls. I miss that place so much. And I have been able to keep on that tradition of company throughout my life. But it wasn't until a couple years ago where the porch of trust would really be tested. May 10th, 2023, and it just dawned on me that like the 2-year anniversary of this is just in a couple of days, right? It was a normal night for me. I was at Atomic Books. I'm part of this club called 33 and a Third Club, right? So this is a little plug for that. It's a lot of fun if you know the books. Right. So that evening we were talking about Pet Sounds, the Beach Boys record, and debating on how good or not good it is, you know, but that's another thing. And usually I'll stick around after the discussion and hang out with folks and chat. But this evening I had to go home early because I had a lot to do that next day. So I got home, went to bed. Everything's good. 2:15 in the morning, I wake up and there's this woman outside. I had the windows open because it was weather just like this. There's this woman screaming, right? Now, I live in Hamden, and if anybody lives in Hamden, you know that there's usually somebody screaming at 2:00 in the morning. So I was just like, oh my God, what the fuck, right? But then my bedroom lit up like this orange glow, and I was like, okay, that's not normal, right? So I roll over, like literally, I'm like, ugh, and I look out the window and I blinked open, right? It was almost like, you know how you're in sleep paralysis when you dream and you're like trying to force your eyes open with your hands? It was kind of like that. And my brain wasn't clicking on. And all of a sudden I was like, holy shit, that house is on fire. And I was like, okay, that house is on fire across the street. You need to get up. Trinity, get up. Trinity, get up. If anybody's seen The Matrix, you know that scene, right? So I finally get up, get my phone, I call 911, and I swear I got the most patient 911 dispatcher on the planet because my calm and cool went on a vacation. Like, it was just like, it went out the window. And this woman, bless her soul, because she, in 2 minutes, was like, ma'am, yes, I promise, the fire department, yes, I know the fire is really big, yes, I am super sure that the fire department is on their way. Awesome. Thank you. Went downstairs, went out the door, and then I realized there wasn't a house on fire. There was 8. The fire had formed like this snake, and the fire just traveled underneath the porch roofs, and it just devoured each one in minutes. I freaked out. right, as one would. And I'm screaming, I'm running up and down the street, banging on doors, waking up my neighbors as we're watching this across the street, because we didn't know if the fire was going to jump across the street. There's cars all lined up. We didn't know if one of them was going to explode, right? Everybody's outside, and what seemed, it felt like hours, really was just a couple minutes. And the fire department did come. And boy, did they get to work. They truly, like, when I think about extraordinary, the first thing that comes to mind is the Baltimore Fire Department. And that day, they truly got to work. So once everybody was accounted for, all of a sudden my brain shut down. And I just collapsed onto my stoop. And I was rocking back and forth, and I was shaking. And my brain was like, holy crap, girl, what the hell is going on? Yeah. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw my friend Diana. And I screamed her name. And she came running over and gave me this hug. And I mean, I still remember the feeling of her hug, just embracing me and holding me so tight. It actually woke me up out of that panic trance that I had gotten in. And then from there, it was just walking up and down the street, making sure that neighbors had what they needed. And pets had water, and just hugging and crying. As day broke, it was about 4 hours later when the fire was contained. We actually got to see the damage that was done. All told, 10 houses were completely destroyed, and 8 more had smoke damage because the smoke went through the walls all the way up the street. And so I sat on my porch, and I was like, all right, what next? Now what? So I thought about, what did we need, right? And there were so many neighbors who were so generous with wanting to donate material goods, but we had to tell them, hold on. And the reason is because these people didn't need things. They needed a place to put the things. So what they needed was money. And the Hamden Family Center was generous enough to start a fund, a general fund for the block. And so once all that was established, which was very quickly, my first phone call was to my friend Tiffany, right? Tiffany, this girl, she is the couponing queen of Baltimore, right? I didn't think these people actually still existed, right? But they do. And how she gets this, like, the deals and the free stuff, like, how she works it is so extraordinary. And so when I called her and I was like, girl, this is what happened. And she was like, I got you. She comes over with 10 shopping bags filled with toiletries and stuff to get these folks through the next couple of weeks. And then I reached into my contact book and I was like, all right, who can help? And the folks that did step up, because there were folks that opted not to, that was their prerogative, but the folks that did, they did in spades, right? Atomics 8 Bar, which is in Atomic Books, and Dangerously Delicious Pies, gave me their time in that I could bartend for them, guest bartending shift, where all my tips went to the general fund. Atomic Books also donated some of the proceeds of that day as well. And Golden West also did a 20% proceeds day towards the fund. And my neighbors who had that smoke damage, who were dealing with that, they went out and were raising money for the folks who were the most affected. But the help that showed up wasn't the extraordinary thing, right? See, before the fire, I hate to say it, we didn't know each other, right? And that happens a lot. I mean, we knew each other existed. I mean, there was a woman over there. She had the 2 large St. Bernards. That woman over there, she really liked my Christmas lights. And that's Craftmatic adjustable chair dude across the street. No, I'm not kidding. The dude, he had the mechanical chair on the front. It was insane. So that said, now it's Miss Holly, it's Miss Karen, Ken and Casey, who are 2 of my dearest friends now, Ella, Drew, and their children, Chris, Heather. They're all friends. They've all spent time on my porch, trusting me with their stories now on how they're continuing on. Thanks.
this idea that fire or tragedy or snowstorms or whatever bring everybody together. And that, as she says at the end, you know, we know each other now. We know each other's names. Like, we've known each other by sight. I love that idea. I feel like you live on a block like that. Like, everyone knows each other. You guys are all really tight.
Yep. We are very close.
All up in each other's business.
In a good way, though. It's not like we have good boundaries in our
neighbors. It's great. Yeah. It's really great. I wish we lived on a street like that.
Thank you, everyone, for listening. If you want to hear more about our shows, our workshops, if you want to hear past stories, you can go to stoopstorytelling.com. We want to thank Maureen Harvey for being our intrepid producer.
Very good neighbor.
Yeah, very good neighbor. Thank you, Maureen. We'll see you next time on The Stoop. Your whole life digging ditches.